Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, how excited are you about today's show? You don't have to answer that because I know you're going to go into a whole long-winded thing. We have a guest today that is founder and CEO of a multi-million dollar business. She has an exceptional book. There's so much we are going to pack into today's show. Best of all, she has been so gracious as to spend some time with us here at the intersection between personal and business growth. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. And by the way, Tracy may sound a little different. She's calling in via phone. She is more important than me. She has to travel a lot. And she's doing her part of the show from New York. This is the Journey to There radio show. Thank you for listening to us on the new Sirius XM app. It's called Spoke. Or maybe your platform of choice is Stitcher. iTunes makes it easy to listen. And of course, online at journeytothere.com. You can also find us on iHeartRadio. And many users of Android are catching us on SoundCloud. You can grab that on Google Play. Now, Tracy, not sure how you do it with booking the best of the best for the show, but you certainly did it with bringing on Mary Shores. Welcome to the show, Mary.
It's my pleasure to be here, Russ. Thank you so much. That was an amazing introduction.
Well, I have to say, Mary, that, you know, Russ said, how did you do it? I was like, well, it wasn't very difficult for me because anybody who writes a book that's titled Conscious Communications, I mean, it's essentially like you had me at hello. So tell us a little bit about, well, I want to jump into the book because I think that, like I said, the title of a book called Conscious Communications just speaks to my heart. But tell us a little bit about you and how you evolved into creating and writing such a wonderful book. And then we are just going to dive right into it because the content that you have and how you talk about harnessing the power of your words to change your mind and your world and your life, I can't talk about it enough.
I can't talk about it enough either. And I'm getting so many special notes from readers telling me that it's doing just that for them. It's literally changing their world because of the things that they're learning in the book. My history is, you know, not a traditional thing that you hear from a successful person that owns a small business. I was out on my own at 16 years old, had to make my way through the world. I started a company at 24. I've always been sort of that serial entrepreneurial type A personality, just like yourself, Tracy. So
I was going to say, you fit right in with us.
You know, it's kind of like that, like when you say intersection, it's that intersection where hard work meets opportunity. And you just, you know, as a young girl, I was just doing what I had to do on my desk that day and getting through each week, getting through each month, and grew and grew and grew. And now 20 years later, I've had a lot of successes. And for about 10 years, I really felt this inner need to write a book. It was like I couldn't not do it. But, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I was saying all the time, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And here's the thing about that. Those words, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer, exposed both a gift that I had as well as a subconscious, well, mirror to my subconscious beliefs. Because the words, I am not a writer, was a belief system that was in my subconscious mind. And how many books do you think I was going to write when I'm walking around telling everybody who listens, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer?
Oh, I mean, that's like throwing up your own barrier before you ever even get your pen and paper out, right? I mean,
totally.
Definitely.
You don't write anything.
I know Russ and I, together in several businesses, you know, and one of the businesses that I have that is probably my passion project, if you will, that I love is a business around Get Your Muse On, and we inspire people to be creative in ways through events and parties and things like that. But the biggest barrier that we run into in terms of people coming and participating in the events is the first thing that they say is, oh, it looks like it'd be really fun, but I'm not an artist. And we're just like, no, stop. Yes, you are. Everyone's an artist. And so I completely understand where you're coming from, but you are obviously able to take your own ability to communicate consciously, if you will, and then override that barrier that you are imposing on yourself and create this wonderful book.
Now, I wanted to ask you, because we're talking about how this mixes with business, how did you get involved, of all the businesses, how did you get involved in a collection agency?
My parents owned a collection agency starting from 1986. I was 13 years old. And I used to have to work in the collection agency or get to work in the collection agency. My parents would pay me $1 an hour, and my job was, I think that was actually well below minimum wage.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how legal that is.
I mean, what's the statute of limitations on that?
I don't know.
That's a tough business, though.
Here's the job I had. I had to lick stamps and envelopes. It was so gross. You know, but, I mean, that was the start of a career, right?
That's a lot of glue you're ingesting.
I know. I think I should be worried about my toxicity levels. But so the thing
we'll just include that in the civil state. It's fine.
I always, ever since I was super young, you know, when other kids in the neighborhood, when the other girls wanted to play house, I wanted to play bank. And I had
awesome.
A bank in my garage. And I literally would make the other kids, they didn't really have a choice. It was kind of, you know, they had to do it. They had to come through my bank in my garage on their bicycles and tricycles. And even those little big wheels that they used to have, those plastic wheels. And I had everyone in the neighborhood had an account at my bank. And I created all this fake money. It wasn't counterfeit. You couldn't, you know, spend it at the Target store or anything. But you could use it at my bank. And so this is how people bought their little houses when they were playing house and I was playing bank. And I guess that's how it really started for me. And so when I had an opportunity in my very young 20s because my parents were moving away and they were no longer going to have the business anymore, I thought, well, maybe I could do this because at like 24, I thought I knew everything. Well, it turns out I didn't know anything, but I did know how to work. So that's how it started.
I think that's awesome because not only were you playing bank and getting your business skills honed, you were also teaching these young kids how to deal with life and business and banking. I think that's really cool.
I just don't know how we could not have been friends when I was little, because I used to have Jobs Incorporated, which was having my friends work for my temp agency that I created, and I was finding jobs for other people. So, see, I was finding jobs for people when I was 7, and you were having them deposit their funds from their jobs in the bank. So we would have been taken on the world. It would have been amazing. We should have lived in the same neighborhood.
God, yeah, we would have been designing women all over again.
Well, I love, you know, this is what you were talking about is essentially what I'm hearing you say is that when you were at that age at 24 that you made a choice. And we were talking before we were actually having the show before the show, which we were talking about choices and how important choices are to the way that outcomes happen in our lives. And at 24, it sounds like that you made a pretty impactful choice that set the tone for the next layer and level of your professional career and personal development. Can you tell me elaborate a little bit on the idea of working within the business of the collections industry, but then also making a choice to create and inspire and motivate through personal development? Because it feels like to me that is such an amazing intersection of personal and business growth that you have been able to take both of those and put them together.
It's, you know, people find it so fascinating because you don't hear many debt collection agencies being very focused on having a humanity plus company. And what I mean by humanity plus
at all.
Is...
Yeah, no.
Right. So humanity plus to me means like, what are you doing to serve the world? What are you doing to push the human race forward? And humanity minus companies I really see as companies that are stalling our growth or perhaps even, you know, harming us in some way, either through toxic chemicals or just, you know, keeping us down in a belief system or, you know, we all know what this means. But for me, I was very focused from very early on that my mission was I wanted people to feel good, and I still do to this day, to feel good about paying a debt, because having a debt is a psychological burden, and it's a burden that creates a brick wall in between the person and living the lifestyle or the life of their dreams. People are less likely to apply for a loan, apply for a job. They're even less likely to date the person that they're best suited for. You know why? Because deep down inside, when someone has a debt, they feel unworthy. And it's a process of shame.
Yeah, there's a lot of shame around that, right? Like, I think that, and shame is such a powerful driver. I can completely see what it is that you're talking about, but I never really thought about it in terms of how it could be a barrier to making positive choices that could ultimately help serve you to remove the debt.
That's right. And so, yeah, I just set out. I looked at the phone one day, and I said, I want the next person who calls to be happier at the end of the call than they were at the beginning of the call. And, you know, our brains are a miraculous thing that when you give it a goal, it automatically starts working to provide you with the information that you need to make that goal. And that's why goal setting is so very important. And, you know, the other thing you talked about is making a choice. Well, in the book, I talk about one of my favorite movies is this gangster movie. And I see this movie as a very professional and personal development movie, and it's A Bronx Tale.
Oh, I love that movie.
I know, it's such a great movie. And the quote from, there's a quote in the movie that really drove my book writing process, because I'd met Chaz Palminteri in person and we talked about this. But the quote is, "The choices you make will shape your life forever." And it's so true. It's just so true.
You know, Tracy, we've talked about that movie on the show when we were talking about how when you're on a date, you dump her right away if she does not unlock the door for you as you're, do you remember that? As you're coming around the back
of
the car.
We did talk about that because we talked about it in regards to my husband, Mary, when we very first met. I should say his trust factor for women was not at the highest point in his life when we met. And he had two cars, and one was like this beater, like truck, and the other car was a nicer vehicle. And so he told me, this was like after I apparently passed the test, that he would only date people that if he went and picked them up and went on dates with them in his beater truck, that if they didn't say anything or act differently or like judge him, then he would go on a second date with them. But if he felt like that they did, then, you know, they didn't make the cut. So yeah, apparently I made the cut. So, and they didn't even have power, like, doors to unlock, and the whole thing is, like, you have to lean over and unlock the door for them. That's another test, apparently, that guys put out there, and I was able to pass those tests. But, yes, we digress, but I do remember that. I wanted to say, though, like, I guess it's a variation of this quote, is something that I've often said a lot, and it's, like, the choices that we make is what is the life that we create. And I think we're essentially saying the same thing. And one of the, I think, most important things around choices is having the awareness about the fact that these choices do lead to a right or a left. We often say on Journey to There, it's like not a right or a wrong, but it's a right or a left. And one of the quotes that I loved from your book was, awareness of your choices is the key to the doors of freedom. And you talk about that, and then you take it even a layer deeper, and you talk about evaluating the options as in a way that you're deciding available to you. So, in fact, I'm just going to read the quote itself because I really love it so much. It says, "Every choice you make in your life is determined by evaluating the options you decide are available to you." And how does that speak to you in your own personal journey?
Well, because it's just so true. What I've noticed is if you can just train yourself to take one step in a new direction, it literally changes your future probabilities by like 10,000 different ways. And what I mean by that is that we all, you know, we're very familiar with the terminology, say, unlimited potential, or we have infinite possibilities. But I think that when we hear those words, potential and possibilities, we assume that that means something desirable, like that means I'm going to become a best-selling author if I live up to my fullest potential. But the truth is that we have equally bad potentials too, and we have equally bad possibilities. So I have the possibility of becoming a best-selling author, but I also have the possibility of failing miserably, right? So,
or never getting the book out because of not being, you know, willing to overcome those fears that you might have.
That's exactly right. And so what I mean and how this has driven my life is that I can connect the dots of understanding how do you take a possibility and turn it into a probability. You know, it's not magic, honestly. It is the choices you make in life change your probability factor, because now instead of something just being a possibility, the choices you make are making it a probability, because everything you do in your life, everything you say, every word you speak, every thought you have, every action you take in the thin sliced moment to moment choices is either connecting you to what you want, it's either creating a deeper connection, or it is driving a disconnection, meaning it is moving you further away from what you want to have happen. And when you learn to discipline yourself to get everything in alignment in the direction of where you want to go, you'll see amazing things happen in your life in such a quick turnaround, like 45 days.
That is so
oh, wow.
That is just wow. Very deep.
Well, what I want to do is actually, in terms of quick turnaround, though this isn't necessarily turning around, but it is turning our conversation in a direction around making choices that have to do with not only how they inspire what our future outcomes will be personally or professionally, but I want to talk a little bit about a topic that you spoke about that really touched my nervous system, if you will, and that is this whole idea of the importance of balancing our nervous system. I'm not, I know this was really highlighted on your website in a post of one of your blog posts that you did around the survival function and how that might actually be killing you. And we, because of my propensity to neglect my balance of wellness and self-care, which I openly talk about it on the show because I think a lot of people struggle with this, and in terms of like making choices that you think are what's best for you to keep driving towards that success and towards that goal and reaching that goal, but then not necessarily making choices that help you rejuvenate and regenerate, and paying attention to those types of choices. And I really wanted to have you expound on that a little bit, because it seems like it's something that you have a lot more success at, let's just put it that way, than where I am in my life right now. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I'm happy to, because I love the topic. And I just want to also be open that a lot of the things that I write about in that book are struggles that I have in my own life. So I'm just like you, and especially right now, I mean, I'm burning the candle at both ends. And so I'm so thankful to have the Zen 10 to remind me, like, okay, I need to go to this yoga class. I need to get some self-care in, even if that's only a 20-minute soak in an Epsom salt bath at night. Because, okay, so here's something we can all relate to. I saw a post from a reader of my book this morning on Facebook, and she said she was in a park, and it was somewhere in New York. I don't remember which park it was, but she took a picture of this beautiful park. And she said there was a woman walking with her dog, and the woman was on her cell phone, and whatever she was doing, she was yelling. She was very angry, and she was yelling and screaming at this person on the phone. And I thought the post was very interesting, because here's what I said. And the post was also about the same thing, because this person's reading the book, and so she's gaining this awareness about how this person is having these reactions because her nervous system is overtaxed. You know, our bodies are like a sponge, and you know what happens to a sponge when it's full of water and you try to put more water in it? It's just gonna
It just makes a big mess. That's what it does.
You can't absorb more than what you can absorb. Well, what happens to us as humans is we're living these overstressed and overtaxed lifestyles where we're burning the candle at both ends, and we get to the point where we are very reactionary. We're reacting at a level 10 over things that should be a level 2, because you know, that person on the phone that's screaming, she's probably frustrated about something. And, you know, we're looking at her and we're thinking, God, she's such a you-know-what. But the truth is...
Right, or why don't you, like, take it down a notch?
Take it down a notch. Right, honey. But how many times are we the person who needs to take it down a notch because we're overreacting about something? The reason we're reactionary so much is because our nervous systems cannot take any more stress. And especially when, if you're a woman and you get to about over the age of 35 or 40, you can start to have these symptoms of adrenal burnout, and then you're snapping on everybody.
Let me throw this in as well, because this is where it was actually upsetting me thinking about this woman that was on the phone. She's in a serene environment. She's walking her dog,
right,
and she's yelling and screaming. So my first thought is, my gosh, what does that dog have to deal with at home? And if she has kids, I pray for those kids. What do they have to deal with when mom is upset like that? But then again, for the past, I don't know, 3 minutes now, we're talking about this woman. This woman has made such an impact on this reader of your book, and it's all based on negativity. And do you want to display that kind of aura, that kind of behavior?
Awareness around it, right? I mean, I think that's part of the whole fundamental part about these conscious and unconscious communications, is that it's highly likely she wasn't even aware of the overreaction or the way that she was coming across. Would you agree?
I agree.
You know, the thing is, when someone's in their fight or flight, that's what the article, the blog post that you're talking about is, and that's what the chapter in the book is about, is when someone's living out of their amygdala, the reptilian part of their brain, they're not aware of it, and they're in survival mode, and they're in survival mode for so much of their day that if you're a woman, what happens is it really throws you a lot into your masculine energy, and that's when that that's when that yelling and that screaming, because
should I take offense to that, the masculine energy?
No, you shouldn't. Because
I hope not, because we love, I mean, I don't know. I love masculine energy, but I'm a feminine person. And so when I'm into my, when I'm too much onto my masculine side, I can look like that woman in the park, not intentionally. And that's why the magic of the Zen is so important, because you can calm your nervous system by, say, doing something to activate your parasympathetic nervous system, by even just rubbing on your vagus nerve behind your ear or taking a yoga class. You just need to do something that is going to create the chemicals in your body that are de-stressing.
The interesting thing is you say survival mode, like she was, you know, it kicked in, and it's like the issue that generated such such, let's say, negative behavior was probably so menial, looking back on it, or you know, to you and I, you know, we don't know what the situation was that was, you know, making her lose her mind, but it was probably not that big a deal.
It may have been to her in the moment, and then that is when the whole situation comes down to it was her reality. But I think what Mary was saying is so important. It was her reality because of the fact that she may have had so many other major things that were happening that some small thing may have triggered that, and then her reaction was not proportionate to the issue at hand.
Right.
And that is a result of just, you know, being overloaded. And I'm feeling like we probably are at our place where we need to take our break, but just to hold everyone's suspense, when we come back, I'm going to talk about how my reaction that I most recently had was not proportionate to the issue at hand.
What we do, Mary, before we take a quick break, I want to let you know that Tracy has takeaways that she takes away from the show every episode. So we'll check in with Tracy's takeaways, and we'll be back with Mary Shores next.
Podcasting is becoming the hottest marketing platform and most personal way to convey your message to the world. Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? ProduceYourPodcast.com gets you there. Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at ProduceYourPodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. ProduceYourPodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
All right, we are back with our guest today, Mary Shores. And I had said each episode we have a quick segment called Tracy's Takeaways. And Tracy's got her takeaways, and she usually has a little bit more than that. That's why we broke a little bit early.
Well, I have to tell my story to set up the takeaway, or it won't be nearly as impactful.
All right, you have time this time, so go ahead.
Oh, well, don't tell me that. I'll take it. So long story short, supposedly, we all know that the nation was affected by Hurricane Irma, and I was traveling for business at the time that the mandatory evacuation was sent down, and I was supposed to be flying from New York to Richmond and then from Richmond back to Georgia, where I live. And based on the fact that we were mandatory, our evacuation was mandatory, I did not want to take my connecting flight from New York to Richmond because my husband was going to pick me up in the Atlanta airport. Well, I fully respect and understand that based on Homeland Security that you're not supposed to get off the plane until your final destination. So I was carrying my bag, and my plan was just to get off the plane in Atlanta. No one would be the wiser until I was going through the gate, and the person that was taking my ticket said, "You're going to have to check your bag." And I said, "I can't check my bag." And I must have acted like I must have probably seemed like I was a criminal or something. I was like, "I can't check my bag."
Yeah. Mary, she was the woman in the park walking the dog.
I was the woman in the park. And so the man, he was like, "You're going to have to check your bag. That bag's not going to fit in the overhead," because apparently it was a smaller plane. And so I said, "Well, then you're going to have to, can you check it through to Atlanta?" And then he told me that no, that I was going to have to get a new ticket issued because my final destination was Richmond. Well, normally I'm a pretty calm person. Normally I'm a pretty good negotiator, and I'm a really good communicator. Well, when he told me that A, I had to check the bag, and B, that he couldn't check it to Atlanta, and that if he did, that he was going to have to reissue a ticket and charge me the fare difference, my resort for negotiation was I just looked at him and I started bawling crying. I mean, like, ugly cry. And I am not a crier. And I was like, "I'm evacuating from the hurricane." And I just started bawling crying. And anyway, he pulled a supervisor over. And he took the checked bag tag off my bag, and he allowed me to get on the plane, and I got off the plane in Atlanta, and the story ended well. But I would like to say for the record that I think my nervous system was overloaded. I was under a tremendous amount of stress, and I did not want my bag going to Richmond when I was going to Atlanta because it was the only bag I had because we were evacuating.
That's how she gets out of speeding tickets as well.
No, I was actually, it felt like a Saturday Night Live moment. Like, after I got on the plane and was sitting in the chair, I thought back on it, and I thought, you know what? Like, I was probably at full-on entertainment, just like that lady in the park, because I had a meltdown of the, you know, of magnet proportions, and that does not happen to me in public. So it was, I think it's basically, back to you, Mary, is that my, I was not well-balanced in my chart between my stress and my rest, and it was just extremely stressful for me. And so as I was coming back and getting prepared for our show, I took advantage of the companion piece that you sent me to your book. And I want to tell everyone who is listening that this is worth every minute of your time. It's the companion course to the Conscious Communications, and Mary has created all of these wonderful exercises, one which begins with gratitude, which I did have gratitude that I was able to get home. But more importantly, I think one of the things that I loved about it so much was, you mentioned it early, but I want to really focus on it for our takeaways, is your Zen 10, because clearly I was not very Zen in that moment. And I went through the entire companion piece, and I am now going to try to put into place your formula for Zen 10. So can you share that with everybody for our takeaways, please?
It would be my absolute pleasure. So it sounds to me like when you got on that plane, or when you were getting off the plane because you needed a break and to walk around a little bit, your sponge was full. And so when our
sponge was full,
then we need to, like, step back and take care of ourselves. And I find that especially busy entrepreneurial people, they don't focus on taking care of themselves. So the book has a coaching exercise in each chapter. And at the end of chapter 3, which is all about, it's called Your Nervous System, Friend or Frenemy. So we talk about this exercise, the Zen 10. And I give a list of 10 suggested self-care exercises, but honestly, you can choose whatever you want because everybody's different. So what you do is you choose one thing. These are non-negotiable. You choose one thing that you'll do each day, one thing you'll do each week, and one thing you'll do each month. So something daily might just have, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of meditation time or reading time. And like right here in the book, it says, meditation is a struggle for me because I'm so like high DI, you know, very high energy person. But when you take some time to meditate, even 5 minutes, it's going to increase your DHEA and your GABA, your endorphin, serotonin, and even your melatonin and your HGH, human growth hormone. So we're talking about some powerful stuff here. So if, you know, you pick one thing that's a daily practice, you pick one thing that's a weekly practice. So my weekly practice is yoga. Every Sunday I go to a Kundalini yoga class, and it really focuses a lot on breathing, which is just a very cleansing and calming thing to do for your body. And one of them is laughter. I mean, certainly I can find a funny movie to watch once a month.
Or
watch you. Yeah, that would crack me up.
Well, I think this book is going to be huge for so many people. It's called Conscious Communications. Mary, tell us how our listeners can get a hold of it.
The book is available on Amazon.com, and it's also throughout the country in many, many, many Barnes & Noble stores. If you check your Barnes & Noble, I always recommend going to their website, putting in your zip code, or giving them a call first. We've found it well-stocked in many, many stores, but there are some stores that don't have it. The easiest way, always, Amazon.com is super easy, especially if you have Prime. The book is less than $11. And we've given the show a link to this free companion guide. So if you purchase the book, you can grab that guide and do it right along with the book.
All right, and how can folks follow you, like you, and connect with you?
The easiest way to connect with me is to join my Facebook group. It's called Fearless Ambition. And as a matter of fact, Tracy, today in the group, we're even doing a Facebook Live training with my friend Tasha, who is going to talk to us about how to focus and take care of yourself and create balance while you're living an entrepreneurial rock star lifestyle.
So Fearless Ambition is the group. You can also find me on Facebook through Mary Shores. My website is maryshores.com. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, all through that same name, Mary, M-A-R-Y, Shores, S-H-O-R-E-S.
All right, and once again, the book is called Conscious Communications. Mary, thank you for spending a little time with us today. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. You've been hanging out with us at the intersection between personal and business growth. It's Journey to There. Be sure to like us on our Facebook page, leave some comments, keep the suggestions coming, and share us with your friends and associates. The Facebook link is right there at journeytothere.com. We look forward to you joining us on the next inspiring episode. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Tracy.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.